Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Live from the Palatial Yet Not Overly Ostentatious Studios of the Infinity Sports Network, this is a Friday edition of the Zach Gelb Show across all of our great Infinity Sports Network affiliates, SiriusXM, Channel 158, the free Odyssey app, and, of course, streaming live on YouTube. 855-212-4227 is the number to jump on in. 855-212-4227. You could always get at me on Instagram, where I'm straight flexing, or via the good old cesspool of Twitter, at Zach Gelb. We got a whole lot to do today. Ryan Holland's going to stop by an hour 20 from now. We'll chat some NBA playoffs with him. I will get into why I'm not worried about the Boston Celtics in just a second, and why Nikola Jokic also should not have won the MVP this year. But I am in an interesting mood today, and I'm on one today. And I woke up, was in a great mood, like, oh, it's a Friday, going to be a wonderful weekend. Went to the gym, did my hour on the elliptical, was feeling real good, made a little protein shake, got my Starbucks coffee. And then when I was walking to the block that it is to get to my Starbucks, I start to see that it's raining in the city. So I go, okay, I'm running a little bit late, got to get in the shower, get ready for the show, do all that. And I said, I'll take an Uber to work today. Now, I live an 8-minute Uber drive to get to work. The Uber driver picked me up, and all you have to do from my apartment is go a mile straight down one road, you make a right, you go two blocks, you make a left, and then you're at the office. That's how easy it is. For some reason, this Uber driver, and there's a little traffic that's forming on a Friday, he goes away from the GPS. Now, if you go away from the GPS, you need to know where you're going. And it was abundantly clear that he did not know where he was going. So at first, I'm like, I'm not going to say anything. And then when I realized he didn't know where he was going, I'm like, you have to turn left. He's like, no, sir, I know where I'm going. So I'm like, okay. And then this dude, because he's impatient, and that's the reality of the situation, because when you eventually turn left on the road where our work is, you have to stay in the left lane. If you do not stay in the left lane, it eventually puts you into the Holland Tunnel, which then takes you to New Jersey. So as this is happening, he gets up to the point where they cut you off and don't let you take a left on Hudson. He's like, the road's closed. I'm like, the road's not closed. And I'm not yelling at him, to be clear. I'm yelling now, but I wasn't yelling at him. I'm just like, the road isn't closed. You just don't know where you're going. So then the guy, the office is all the way to the left. Then the guy starts going all the way to the right. And I'm like, can you please just listen to me? Like, I'm not great with directions, but I know how to get to the damn office. And finally, he listened to me. And then you would think, because I don't like to negatively rate Uber drivers. I don't. because their rating impacts their livelihood probably to some extent. So I usually always give 5 stars. But a little common courtesy, after it took 28 minutes to get to work on what should have been an 8-minute drive, you probably just should have said, hey, I'm sorry, have a good weekend. Drops me off on the wrong side of the street, by the way, and doesn't even say anything. So I'm like, you know what? 2 stars. I did. Okay, he was just rude. He was given attitude. And he just took, I'm very simple. All you need to do is just take a little accountability. That's all you need to do. If you just said, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. Like, I've said that before in my life. I've done things wrong. Hey, I'm sorry, I'm wrong. But he's blaming it on the GPS. No, it was because you were impatient and you didn't want to wait like 2 minutes when there was a little bit of traffic. So that got me in a bad mood. And while I was in the car for an extra 20 minutes, some Pacers fans got a hold, timing is everything, of my Rick Carlisle take. Now, remember when Bart Winkler joined us in the first round and he was going after Pacers fans? And I had no reason to have any issue with Pacers fans up until this point. I don't really have a dog in the fight with the Knicks and the Pacers. So I have no reason to have an issue with Pacers fans, right? For the Knicks, I know Leon Rose. For the Pacers, I went to also sleepaway camp, ironically enough, with people in the Simon family who own the Indiana Pacers. So I just want to see a good series. If anything, I was trying to put some respect on the Pacers' name before the series did commence. When you have like guys like Hickey saying, Knicks in 5, Knicks in 5, the Pacers suck. I'm like, no, I feel like this could be a 6 or 7 game series. I'll take the Knicks in 7. So all these Pacers fans are delusional. And a lot of them are dolts. Okay? If you actually think, especially this year, that the NBA is determined off the officiating because the officials favor big market teams compared to smaller market teams, you're just a sycophant for the organization that you root for in the Indiana Pacers. There's no other way about this. Because if the officials just favored the small market teams, why are the Thunder the 1 seed? Why are the Minnesota Timberwolves now the favorite to win the NBA championship? Why did the Milwaukee Bucks win an NBA championship a few years ago? And oh yeah, by the way, because right, the referees are favoring the big bad Knicks because they're in a big bad market. Why have the Knicks practically sucked for 20 years? So those two things, a bad Uber driver and dumb Indiana Pacers fans, went from this being like a wonderful Friday, a very happy-go-lucky Friday, to now myself just being very annoyed with the world. Because I just want to see accountability taken in this world, and I don't want to deal with stupid people. Okay, let's have a good Friday show, everybody. This is Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. I got Michael Samter. I got Stuart Kovacs with me. We're rocking and rolling all the way up until 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific. You know what, guys? Can we get a 3-shot, please, on the YouTube stream? Just so people watching on YouTube could see this. Can we just have like a moment of zen for a second? You know, everyone just take a big deep breath. Breathe out. Breathe in. Breathe out. Alrighty. It's going to be a wonderful Friday. Let's have a good Friday here. I always close my eyes. Did Stu, Santa, did you breathe in and breathe out there?
Oh yeah, I have a lot of methods of anger management. So yeah, you've seen me at my best and you've seen me at my worst. So you know that I need as much help as possible.
Maybe I should have consulted you.
Hey, listen, if the U2 Green Day concert situation was any indication, I am not good in that situation either. I was yelling at cab drivers in Vegas myself.
And I hate to be that person.
Like I love it.
I cringe. When that driver in Vegas took every wrong turn as we were trying to get to the Green Day concert, I was cringing when Samter was in the mood. But I was not like you, to be clear, in this Uber driver. I was just telling him where to go, and I was being polite. I don't like to be that guy. But today, I thought I almost had to be that dude. Like, you know how you won't know because you haven't seen the movie. And like Mike, they go to tie their shoes, and they're like Mike? I almost, hit my chest today to get myself in the mode and say, all right, be like Mike, except Mike Samter. Not Michael Jordan. Alrighty, I'm not worried about the Boston Celtics. Let me be clear. I'm not worried about the Boston Celtics in order for their chances to get to the NBA Finals. I am not a believer, and I'm not of the thought that the Celtics are going to win the NBA championship this year. And what you saw last night, a lot of people will be like, oh, here comes the Celtics again, and here comes the Celtics that we always doubt. That's not me today in the Eastern Conference. Because we just did this, I don't know, a round ago, when Boston won game one, and then in game two, Miami shot the lights out of the building. They stole game two, and Boston didn't drop another game. At most now, this is only going six games. You know, maybe the Cavs get one on their home court. But even if it goes to a game seven, even though I would be surprised, I think there's a 0% chance that the Celtics aren't at least advancing to the Eastern Conference Final. And then you look at the potential opponent that they'd be going up against, the Indiana Pacers, who have crybaby Carlisle, and then you also have the Knicks, who are now like the decimated Knicks. If the Knicks were healthy, maybe the Knicks could take down the Celtics, but Jalen Brunson, who's just a machine, is not playing 100%. OG Anunoby is dealing with the hamstring injury. We know Julius Randle is out for the season. And the Pacers have a solid team. They have a good team. Now, I like Pascal Siakam. I like Tyrese Halliburton. TJ McConnell, how about Rick Carlisle stops bitching about the officials and he actually puts him back in the game? But I don't think either of those teams are going to take the Celtics down four times in a seven-game series. Like, if the Celtics don't get to the NBA Finals this year, and let me be abundantly clear, it is championship or bust for the Boston Celtics. But the road in the East has never been easier for Boston to get to the NBA Finals. The Bucks, home. Miami, home. The Knicks, a good team. I think their ceiling this year is just getting to the conference finals. So, yes, you don't like to see what happened to Boston last night, where the Cavaliers just took it to them in the second half. And I can understand why some people say, here goes the Celtics again. Just when people start to buy in and just when people start to think this is going to be a quick series, they're going to make it a lot tougher than what it needs to be. And some of that may be true. Maybe it is tougher than what it's going to need to be. But as long as Jason Tatum is healthy, and I don't like what Jason Tatum said after the game last night, but as long as he is healthy, I don't see a way where the Celtics don't get to the NBA Finals. Now, I'm not telling you I believe that the Celtics are going to hoist the Larry O'Brien trophy. If Minnesota gets there, I'm taking Minnesota. If Oklahoma City gets there, right now I'm probably taking Oklahoma City. If Denver comes back and defeats the Minnesota Timberwolves, I'm probably taking Denver. You know, the Mavericks, they bounced back last night. They got a victory. And Luka Doncic had 29 points, 10 rebounds, and 7 assists. And you had P.J. Washington with just a very efficient performance, 7 of 11 from behind the arc, and he registered 29 points. I'm just concerned still about that knee for Luka Doncic with the knee sprain that he is that he's dealing with. And you saw it be really, really, really impactful in Game 1 and hinder his performance in Game 1, and they were able to get the victory in Game 2. So I guess you got to see the matchup and how everyone is from a health standpoint, but I will not sit here and say today the Celtics losing last night means they're not going to find a way to win three more times up against the Cavaliers and then four more times up against either New York or Indiana. I'm not telling you that I believe they're going to win the championship. I'm just not going to panic and do the show today all doom and gloom about the Boston Celtics that the Celtics are screwed. Because they're not screwed in order to get to the NBA Finals. Can they win a championship this year? They're going to need Kristaps Porzingis back. Can they? Yes. Do I think they will? No. Alrighty, let me play you though, and this I did not like. This is Jason Tatum after losing game two last night. Listen up.
I mean, that's the narrative that you might see on TV. The idea that we have a super team. It's twofold, right? We didn't have a coach of the year. We didn't have an MVP. We only had two All-Stars. So they say we're a super team, but, you know, we didn't get rewarded like we are. We know we got a good team. We're not perfect. We play the right way more often than not. and we know we got to be better. But, you know, for, I guess, saying people that are spoiled from our success, you know, we don't pay attention to those things. We just go out there and control what we can control.
So here's my problem with that. The Celtics weren't deserving of Joe Mazzulla winning Coach of the Year. Jason Tatum wasn't deserving of winning an MVP. Heck, quite frankly, I don't even think Brad Stevens should have won Executive of the Year. But he did. So to bitch about two awards that you didn't win and not acknowledge an award that you did win, I don't love that. But quite frankly, you lose game two. I don't need to hear you sitting there and worrying about individual awards. And maybe I'm wrong here. When did anyone ever call the Celtics, this version of the Celtics, a super team? This is an era of dynamic duos. The dynamic duo for the Celtics is Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. Now, did they add some good other pieces? Yes, Kristaps Porzingis is a good other piece. You know, the trade they made with the Bucks, they added another good piece. But to sit here and act like, oh, the Celtics got screwed and the Celtics haven't got respect, what is he talking about? But this is what happens when you've been a group that's been together for so long and hasn't won a championship. People start to doubt you. So I hear that, and I thought Jason Tatum, who I like a lot, just came off really soft last night. And if I'm a Celtics fan, I don't want to hear that. I don't need to hear you being concerned about individual awards that this team didn't win. And quite frankly, if we're going to talk about MVP, and we're going to talk about the MVP award, I love Nikola Jokic, and I get what happened. No one really took a firm grasp on the MVP this year. It was open, so it ended up going this year to the best player. And it's not always the case. Like, there's been years where LeBron has been the best player and he didn't win the MVP. But if I was voting for the MVP and I don't have a vote, I would have considered two people for my first place vote this year. And those two people would have been Jalen Brunson and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Those would have been the two guys. What if you go by the definition of not just who's the best players, but who's the most valuable to his team, look at what Brunson has done with the Knicks that led them to a two seed. He went from someone that we thought was, at the time, an overpaid player, someone that was good, into a great player this year. And then for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, SGA, he averaged over 30 points per game and was a one seed. So those two guys, to me, should have been the MVP over Nikola Jokic. And for Jason Tatum, yeah, he was a one seed. Yeah, he's the Celtics' best player. But if you want to say maybe he should have been the third name on the list, okay, like, you could argue it. You know, Luka Doncic also has to be in the fold too, and Nikola Jokic as well. But I don't think Mazzulla was deserving of Coach of the Year. I don't think, quite frankly, Brad Stevens is deserving Executive of the Year anyone. And I don't think Jason Tatum was deserving of the MVP. So that's the part for me, Samter and Stu, where I get lost. It seemed like, and correct me if I'm wrong, Samter, it seemed like last night Jason Tatum was doing like the woe is me, woe is us. You know, we get called a super team, which you don't, but we don't get the respect like one. Well, that timing's a little bit off because you guys lost last night. So you want to shut everyone up. No one's going to give you praise for just getting to the NBA Finals. This is an easy road this year for you guys. You don't get to the Finals, just for starters, absolute failure. But this needs to be the year when young stars are emerging and starting to now have a lot of team success, like SGA with the Thunder, Anthony Edwards with the Timberwolves, where you have now had proven guys for a while and you've tinkered with the roster a little bit to make it better, and you need to go win the championship. So I don't get why his feelings are all hurt when people are asking him fair, legitimate questions when you lost the game too, which in the past, this Celtics team has made it tougher on them than what they've actually needed it to be.
I think his point, to an extent, mm-hmm. is not necessarily that he's complaining that they didn't win awards or that he's saying that people call them a super team. Basically, what he's saying is, listen, we have a team that has two very good players and a good coach,
mm-hmm.
but we win because we just play really well together. We're not a super team.
Okay.
We're not, you know, we're not the Dream Team Eagles, and we're not the, you know.
Well, the Dream Team Eagles suck.
Yeah, we're not the Golden State Warriors with multiple Hall of Famers on the roster. He's like, we're just a good team who knows how to play together. And this idea that we're like a dominant team just because we're so good and that we have so much talent, it's not true. We're good because
we
play well together.
They were 15 games better. I'm not arguing here, just to be clear. Yeah. They were 15 games better than everybody else in the Eastern Conference.
Right, but the point is that, like, yes, they were 15 games better than everybody else, but you know who finished higher than Jason Tatum in MVP voting? Jalen Brunson, Giannis, and, you know, those two guys who finished behind them in the Eastern Conference, right? Jalen Brunson didn't get a first or second place vote for the MVP. Now, I don't think he should have won MVP, but if you're 15 games better than everybody else and you don't get a first or a second place MVP vote, you got one third place vote. Basically, what you're saying is this is a team that doesn't have superstars. This is a team that has a lot of really good players that play well together. And that's kind of what he was saying. We don't have the best coach. We don't have the best player. We don't have multiple Hall of Famers. We're just a really good team that plays really well together, and we deserve the respect of being a team that plays well together.
But here's the thing, though. They don't deserve the respect. And the reason why they don't deserve the respect is this. There are teams before that we've seen them have great regular seasons, and come postseason time, they've come up short. Look at Lamar Jackson. Does anyone care that Lamar Jackson won his second MVP this year? No. Because what he does in the regular season now is irrelevant when you don't get to a Super Bowl. The same thing was with Giannis Antetokounmpo and also Nikola Jokic until they won a championship. There are certain players and there are certain teams that have been there for, like, Josh Allen. Will anyone give a rat's ass if Josh Allen is the one seed next year in the AFC and he wins an MVP? No. Because the regular season doesn't matter for some of those teams in the way that we view it, because it's, okay, we've seen you been great before in the regular season. I've seen Jason Tatum be great before in the regular season. But you have to break through and win a championship. And guys like Giannis did so. Guys like Nikola Jokic did so. Josh Allen hasn't yet. Lamar Jackson hasn't yet. And it's just one of those things where that's the reality of the situation. I'm not saying it's easy because you like a little praise, but all throughout the year in the regular season, I'm like, okay, the Celtics are much better than everybody, but it even puts more pressure on them because it's not just getting to the finals. They've been to the finals before. They have a team that on paper is good enough to win a championship. You have Jason Tatum, a star. Jaylen Brown, very good player. All-star. You have Drew Holiday. Won a championship before. You get Porzingis back. We know what he's capable of. You know, Derek White has turned into a really good player for them. They have enough. Now you have to do it. And now you have to be mentally tough to overcome not only adversity, but people doubting you. Because it's not as if people's doubt about the Celtics is unfair. Because they haven't won a championship. And also part of that, I know we got to take a break, but part of that is they came onto the scene so early and they had so much success early where they overachieved. Now, though, we're way past that point. Now the window is open and you have to capitalize. So, no, I have no sympathy for Jason Tatum last night. I have no sympathy that Mazzulla didn't win Coach of the Year because he shouldn't have, or Tatum didn't win MVP because he shouldn't have. And, hey, Brad Stevens won the executive of the year. He shouldn't have either. But he did. So this idea that people aren't praising the Celtics or they disrespect them, it's just nonsense. You need to go win a championship. And until you do that, people are going to view you as a player who's really damn good but doesn't have the title. Coming on back, it is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists, like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
All right, it is a Zach Gilb show on this Friday. You know, I read a story late last night, and I see that there's a lot of response to this. And I'll ask Samter and Stu if, like, what this means to them, because I'm really perplexed by this. So Lamar Jackson has lost 25 pounds, not all in just one offseason. In 2022, he weighed 230 pounds. Last year, he played at 215. Now he's at 205. So he has lost 10 pounds from last season. Since 2022, he's lost 25 pounds. What does that tell you, Samter? Is there a take that you have that's elicited from the news that Lamar Jackson has been cutting down on the LBs a little bit?
I was actually happy when he gained the LBs just from a health standpoint, but in reality, for the most part, Lamar has been healthy most of his career. So it's possible that after his MVP season, he just realized, you know what, maybe putting on that weight actually hurt me a little bit. As long as I can stay healthy, I can drop back down and be even more effective.
Because before the MVP season, which was this past year, he had back-to-back seasons where he got hurt and he ended the season on the sideline. But I will say, to your point, all things considered with Lamar, he doesn't take a lot of hits. For a guy that runs that much, he does not take a lot of hits. Stu, is there any reaction that you have to this story? Because I see people are making a big deal, like they're wondering if this is a good thing or a bad thing for Lamar Jackson to be losing this weight.
I'm kind of aligned with Mike a little in terms of, I don't feel like it was something where, like, okay, he's out of shape, he needs to lose weight. Like, you know, we've seen with, like, some basketball players, like James Harden.
Sure.
That has been a classic
Zion.
Example. Yes, they have to lose weight. They're out of shape. Lamar Jackson is definitely not out of shape, and I don't think it's to the point where him losing weight is going to help him. Like, it's not going to make him faster. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's possible. So I'm kind of in the mindset of, I'm not sure why he would do this. I don't think it changes much, but to me, I question a little why he would do that.
So I actually, and maybe this is a stretch, I will preface it this way, because I really think this is not that big of a deal and it's not really that much of a story. But last year, when Todd Monken took over, Lamar and also Todd Monken and the Ravens told you what? They told you they were going to throw. They were going to throw a lot more like never before. And in that AFC Championship game, I was actually confused why they didn't use Lamar in his best way possible. I thought they should have ran him more and used his legs more in the AFC Championship game to win that one game. And I thought last year at times, the Ravens were trying to make a point to you. And I think Lamar is a better passer than what he gets credit for, to be clear. But I think the Ravens last year, because of all the conversation about Lamar, we're trying to say, yeah, we're a team that we haven't won yet, but we are going to win, and we're going to do it the way that a lot of people think we can't do it. And that's making Lamar throw the football more. So I do wonder, not that Lamar needs to get faster, but him cutting off an additional 10 pounds this offseason is maybe him trying to get faster. And just maybe the Ravens are going to go back to running the football a lot more with Lamar Jackson this year, and Lamar thinks he needs to cut some of this weight off to get faster. That's the only thing that I could think of in terms of And let me preface it by saying, the overanalysis with this conversation that's done. So that's what I just thought a little bit when trying to figure out what it could be. But I've seen a lot of conversation about this where I don't really understand, for the most part, a lot of people thinking like this could be negative, because it's not as if really throughout this entire career and Lamar suffered injury, that Lamar's size has put him in danger of getting hurt. Because he does a good job with how much he used to run and still runs to this day and not taking the big hit. Like when he broke, I think it was Michael Vick's record, yeah. He took a big pop a few years ago. That's like one of the big pops I vividly remember seeing Lamar Jackson take. For the most part, for a guy that we talk so much about how he runs, he doesn't really risk himself or put himself at risk all that much.
And for me, I don't think that, like, if you think about Lamar's game and Lamar's abilities and all these things, like, to your point, it doesn't seem like getting faster or stronger or any of those things are what really is holding him back. Mm-hmm. What's holding him back is just performing in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Is just putting it out and doing what 100%. He does during the regular season in that AFC title game, because he's done everything. He's won games with his arms.
Besides
he's won
games with his 100%.
Legs. He's won games while he was heavy. He won games while he was light. He's won MVPs. He's won division. He's done all of it. He just hasn't won in the playoffs. And I don't think gaining or losing weight is going to change that. That's up here, right? That's not in the gut. That's not in the arm. That's in the head. And eventually, and the heart. He just has to get that part done. And once he does, he's gonna get there eventually. I mean, he's too good of a player not to.
Is Secretariat a cheater? I got to use this as a tease. Is Secretariat a cheater? We'll tell you one prominent name who thinks so next. It is the Zach Gelb Show on the Infinity Sports Network. Here's Zach.
Tired of sifting through countless supplements? Unsure of what's actually effective? Introducing Legion, the choice of over 800,000 discerning fitness enthusiasts. With all-natural products, clinically effective ingredients, doses, and hassle-free money-back guarantee, you can achieve your fitness goals without the unnecessary guesswork. Say goodbye to wasted efforts and hello to results. With Legion, you don't need supplements to build muscle, lose fat, or get healthy, but the right ones can help. Visit LegionAthletics.com. Go to LegionAthletics.com to get 20% off your order now.
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
Doors take us to summers away or winter adventures and afternoon getaways. Your dedicated Fidelity advisor can help you open those doors by working with you on a comprehensive plan to help you reach your wealth's full potential. Because doors were meant to be opened. Visit fidelity.com/wealth. Investment minimums apply. Fidelity Brokerage Services, LLC, member NYSE, SIPC.
Welcome back to the Infinity Sports Network.
It's time to ask the pros. Where you, the listener, gets to ask us a question. It's brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simply tweet your question at INFSportsNet or at Zach Gelb using the hashtag AskThePros. Be listening later in the show when we might answer your question. You can thank O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. And for my dear, dear, dear friend, Largent Parks of the YouTube chat, he loves my singing. O'Reilly Auto Parts. Let's get to a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All right, now, let's start it off with the New Heights podcast. Jason Kelce?
All right, he believes so. Secretariat is a cheater. Uh-huh. Listen up.
All major speed records in the Triple Crown races are still held by Secretariat, who set them in 1973.
Which is wild.
It's not that wild because Secretariat was juiced to the gills. Secretariat just so happens to be right in the heart of the steroid era. 1973, 70s? Every NFL player, every baseball player, they were juicing them to the gills. You don't think Secretariat was juiced to the rafters? Of course it's the fastest horse of all time. They didn't drug test Secretariat the way they did Mystic Dan. Nobody talks about it. Secretariat was doping. There's no chance Secretariat wasn't doping.
That's up, man.
Why does anyone care about this, Samter? Why are people... I've seen the reaction. And sometimes I see people lose their mind on social media and I go, why is anyone taking something that's clearly in like a fun mood with Jason Kelce so seriously here? Why so serious? I'll be like the Joker.
I think it's twofold. One, I mean, you're accusing a horse that can't...
Wait, have you ever... You've seen The
of
Dark
course.
Knight, right?
Why he goes like, so serious?
My father was a drinker. Why so serious?
Yeah. All right,
continue.
Yeah, I know. We do a good Heath Ledger. I think it's twofold. One, he's accusing a horse who can't... Who, A, is deceased, and B, can't defend itself as being a cheater, which just feels unfair to just kind of throw it out there. Like... And B, he also accused every baseball and NFL player of using steroids during the 70s. Now, that opens up a whole new can of worms. With all the talk of PEDs in the 90s and the early 2000s, if guys were cheating and roiding up back in the 70s, then all those
probably
idiots got to shut their traps and let all these other PED users in the 90s and 2000s in, like Bonds, Clemens, Sosa, Palmeiro, and all those other guys.
But here's the thing, to your point. Baseball players could have said no. Football players could have said no. The horse couldn't say nay to steroids. Dun-dun-dun. There's your cheesy joke of the day. I'll be here all night. All right, now. Let's get to Matt Eberflus, starting fresh with his rookie QB, Caleb Williams.
It's really a great opportunity, right? It's refreshing to be able to do that. I know the whole building's excited about working together, not only with Caleb, but with everybody. And it's certainly nice to have that fresh start.
Has he been told that he's the starter going to training camp? You even have to have that conversation?
No conversation. He's the starter.
I like that. He's ready to go. Some of these coaches are like, oh, we need to have a competition. Stop. We all know as long as he's healthy, Caleb Williams is starting week one. And it was just confirmed by the coach. So Big Baby Davis is going to jail. I think it's for 40 months. It's never a good idea once you find out that you're going to jail, that you decide to go on like Instagram Live or something live. I think this is IG Live, which he did go on, but this is Big Baby Davis going to prison.
Damn. I got a cold imagination though. You know, I do that acting. I got a cold imagination. I'm gonna have to choke the chicken in the bathroom. That's crazy. I'm gonna be swole though. I swear to God, I'm about to get in so much shape. Oh God. That's the only way you can stop me from eating hamburgers is put me in jail. That's what God said. I'm going to stop you eating hamburgers and put you in jail. You won't stop eating hamburgers and Cheetos, you're going to jail. So now, I'm going to come to rock.
And he was convicted in November of 2023 in an alleged scheme to defraud the league's health care benefits plan, the NBA's health care benefits plan. Could you imagine needing to go to jail in order to stop eating hamburgers and Cheetos? And not only just to go to jail, okay, you know, maybe you go to jail for a month, all right, you get in some good shape. He's there for 40 months. That's when he got convicted. 40 months. So maybe he gets out for good behavior or something like that. But we're talking about 3+ years. That's wild to me. Absolutely wild to me. Let's go to Anthony Edwards. Did he look up to Jamal Murray or any of the Nuggets? Here we go.
Hey, you talked in that Phoenix series a lot about the way you saw Kevin and how that motivated you. And at your age, it's got to be fun to see all these OGs right in front of you. Is there anything like that in this series? Like, what's your...
Nah, these guys, 3-4 years older than me, man, yeah.
I mean, Jamal been around for a minute. Is that a guy that you've been tracking at all?
Nah, hell no. Nah. Like I said, what is he, 27? I'm finna turn 23, dog. Yeah. KD 36, 35. Yeah. Come on, man. There's no disrespect to Jamal. I don't know what you're trying to start, but yeah, he's no. Not at all.
So, there's a lot of people that are stupid in the media. And I've been in a lot of these press conferences. Like, there's a lot of talk show hosts that don't go to press conferences. I enjoy going to games and going to press conferences. And a lot of times in the playoffs, there's like cheesy newspaper writers or TV reporters that are trying to do a stand-up. And the question I hate the most is, someone wins, hey, how does it feel to go to the NBA Finals? But sometimes when you're writing a story, you're trying to get quotes for your intent purpose of the story. So you ask a specifically worded question. What story is that person writing or doing where they think that Anthony Edwards is looking up to anybody on this Nuggets team? Like, I would understand if it was last series going up against KD, or if they were going up against the Lakers and it's LeBron or even Steph Curry. But to do this story now, and I'm sure it's about Anthony Edwards being a younger player, like the face of the league, but to make it as if he's looking up to Nikola Jokic, who's not even 30 yet, or Jamal Murray, who's what, 27? That's just stupid. And that's what, and it's a bad look for all of us involved in the media. When you have stupid people that write stupid stories and they think they're on to something, and then the athlete just goes, this is just dumb. So good on Anthony Edwards. Josh Hart, I love him. Rick Carlisle kept on saying how the NBA gives preferential treatment to these big market teams over the small market teams. Here is Josh Hart's response to that.
No, that's so stupid, bro. We gonna say the big market always wins. The Knicks ain't won a chip in 51 years. So obviously, that don't really hold much weight. So I don't fully understand that. Sorry, New York, for the reminder. But I think that's just idiotic. At the end of the day, it's who's playing the best, and that's, I never seen a ref, shoot a free throw or make a three or miss a rotation.
It's all timing. If Carlisle would have said what he said after game one, no one kills him. But after game two, when the officials weren't the story, the only one that actually believes what Carlisle was saying are some of those dopey Indiana Pacer fans. Let's go to Artemi Panarin's game-winning goal last night. This was awesome. Sam Rosen on the Rangers Radio Network. I'll set the stage for you. Rangers up 2-0. They're going to Carolina, which, by the way, all I hear about are how great those Carolina Hurricanes fans are. That was a Rangers home game last night on the road in game three of the Stanley Cup playoffs in the second round. Hurricanes make a goaltender change. They did strike first. Rangers tied up the game shorthanded. They did take a 2-1 lead with about 90 seconds to go. The Hurricanes pulled the goalie. They tie it up, Svechnikov, and then in overtime, after having double overtime in game two, in overtime, this was a quick ender by Artemi Panarin as the Breadman did deliver.
Round the boards it goes. Missed by Orlov. Played it.
Score!
Score! Yes! Yes! The Rangers win it in overtime and lead the series 3-0.
That was former captain, Rangers captain Dave Maloney, who stepped all on the toes of one Sam Rosen. And I know some people out of like traditional broadcasters will have an issue with that. I don't. Because everything that Dave Maloney just said, yeah, score, score, is the way that I sounded in my apartment last night. The Dallas Stars in game one against the Colorado Avalanche were up 3-0. They blew the game. They lost in overtime 4-3 in game two. Not only did Dallas take a 3-0 lead once again, but then they made it a 4-0 lead when they got this shorthanded goal. Let's listen up to the Dallas Stars radio network.
Ben takes off his lane. Number shorthanded for Dallas. Harley leads with Ben. Harley save Georgiev. The rebound bounces out in front. Score! Tyler Seguin! An Avs power play to try and get back into the game, and instead, Seguin and the Stars extended to their largest lead of the series.
And then for a little bit, you thought, okay, this game was going to get good in the third, as it did get to 4-3 at one point, but then Dallas did get the empty net goal to win 5-3, and now that series is all tied up at one apiece. Finally, let's hear Byron Scott on who should be the next Lakers head coach. This is courtesy of FS1 and Undisputed.
Make LeBron the coach.
Let him be the player coach.
Make him the coach.
It's obvious to me, at least, that he's making a lot of decisions that's going on in this organization. So if you're going to allow him to make those decisions, all right, sit on the bench and make those decisions as well. Be the head coach. As far as I'm concerned, the only person that he's going to really trust is himself. And since you're making a lot of these decisions anyway, why not put him in that seat?
It will never happen, but I'm 100% with Byron Scott. LeBron James should be the next coach of the Lakers. It will probably be J.J. Redick. It looks like Mike Budenholzer is going to be the next coach of the Phoenix Suns. I think they're going to hire who LeBron wants. And Ty Lue's not going there. Jason Kidd's not going there. We know that. And J.J. Redick didn't get the Hornets job. I think LeBron's going to make a push for J.J. Redick. And it feels like the Lakers are going to do everything this offseason to make sure LeBron gets what he wants, whether that's drafting Bronny, whether that's getting to pick the next head coach. So when he opts out, he re-signs with the Los Angeles Lakers. Because it really doesn't matter who the coach is. LeBron is the coach of the team. So just make him the damn coach. Like, Stu, would you be fine if they just said LeBron, he's the next head coach of the team because he's basically coaching the team anyway?
Bingo. He already is. So what's the difference if he's, make him the official coach then? Yeah, I agree.
And could you, I don't want to steal his thunder probably on his first weekend as the Friday to Saturday, Saturday to Sunday host here on the network on the weekend overnights. But I bet you Shep will have that take too. And he'll be like, imagine the legacy of LeBron James if he becomes a player coach and wins a championship. Could you imagine? Jordan didn't do that. What would that do for the legacy of LeBron James? 855-212-4227 is the Good Shepherd right here on the Infinity Sports Network. Take a timeout. We'll do a little draft. Quarterbacks to win Super Bowls. Next!
Here's why April chose to vaccinate her child.
I think actually meeting someone who was not vaccinated and now has a lifelong struggle with a childhood disease really cemented for me that it's super important that we as parents continue to vaccinate our children.
Talk to your pediatrician or visit whyvaccines.com. Brought to you by Merck.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Tired of sifting through countless supplements, unsure of what's actually effective? Introducing Legion, the choice of over 800,000 discerning fitness enthusiasts. With all-natural products, clinically effective ingredients, doses, and hassle-free money-back guarantee, you can achieve your fitness goals without the unnecessary guesswork. Say goodbye to wasted efforts and hello to results with Legion. You don't need supplements to build muscle, lose fat, or get healthy, but the right ones can help. Visit LegionAthletics.com. Go to LegionAthletics.com to get 20% off your order now.